So we're reading from Adi Leela, chapter 17 and text 11. Translation of Prabhupada by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srivast Thakur then worshipped Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the process of Abhishek. Sitting on a cot, the Lord exhibited transcendental opulence. Prabhupada. Abhishek is a special function for installation of the deity. In the ceremony, the deity is bathed with milk and water, and then worshipped and given a change of dress. This Abhishek function was specially observed at the house of Srivas. All the devotees, according to their means, worshipped the Lord with all kind of paraphernalia, and Lord gave benedictions to each devotee according to his desire. Yeah, it's a good verse. Okay, I'll just speak on that. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshunyavadi Paschandeshtarine. So this verse, actually this chapter, is almost in the middle of the Adi Leela. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is recounting many pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his youth. So, we know Chaitanya Charitamrita is a repository of Mahaprabhu's pastimes and especially his philosophy. There are many books on Lord Chaitanya. If you want to know him, many devotees have written many books about him. There is an ocean of knowledge about his pastimes. Specifically, there are 6 books with us, with at least Gaudiya Vaishnavas, which recounts his pastimes from different perspectives and focused on different ages. So Chaitanya Charitamrita especially focused on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya when he performed in his middle life, when he was young, and especially after sannyas, what he did after sannyas. That is the focus of Krishnadas Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also philosophy. Why we accepted this book, provided we have many other books about Lord Chaitanya, as a foundation of our movement of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, because this book is specifically talking about philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. It begins with philosophy, Adi Leela first chapter, and it ends with philosophy, Anta Leela 21st chapter, that is commentary on Shikshastakam by Lord Chaitanya. So this is one book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you want to specifically know about his sannyas, pastimes and philosophy, there's another book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, we know, and that's written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And he wrote it in his village, actually in his birthplace, called as Denud. He was the last disciple of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he stayed there and he wrote about Lord Chaitanya. Nityananda Prabhu ordered him, you should write something about Lord Chaitanya. And he started writing, but first he started glorifying his spiritual master, that is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he kept on writing, and he forgot to write about Lord Chaitanya. That was he, Vrindavan Das Thakur. And he thought, what's happening? And then in the end, he commented something about Lord Chaitanya, and then he said, you know, I'll just stop here. Because later somebody will come and he'll explain other pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. That was Vrindavan Das Thakur. So if you want to know about Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and specifically childhood pastimes, he began describing pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Childhood pastimes, and then he stopped. Because he said, I fear the book will become very big. And we know, big books, people don't read. Isn't it? People don't have habit of reading big books. Even at that time. So if you want to know about childhood pastimes, that's a book. If you want to know about some songs about Lord Chaitanya and poetry, there's a book, Chaitanya Mangal, which is written by Lochan Das Thakur in the village called as Shrikhanda. We know Shrikhanda, it's Mahaprabhu took sannyas in Katwa, the place. And near that place, there's another place, Shrikhanda. And within Shrikhanda, there is a place, Badadanga. If you go there, still it's a very beautiful place. Lochandas Thakur came there. He accepted Narahari Sarkar Thakur as his guru. And he wrote a book, Chaitanya Mangal, on his order. In that, he made poetry and poems. Lochana Kahe was that. We have songs in a songbook also, no? By Lochandas Thakur. Apana Karama Bhunjaya Shamana Kahe Lochana Das. We have that song. So, because Narahari Sarkar Thakur and all those devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they were expert poets. Lord Chaitanya has a kirtan team, you know. He was a Sankirtanai Kapitrao. Narahari Sarkar Thakur, his disciples were singers for Lord Chaitanya. Govind Ghosh, his brother Vasudev Ghosh and his brother Mukund Ghosh, they used to sing for him. Govind Dutt and Vasudev Dutt, they were another singers. So that's the book if you want to read. Chaitanya Mangal, poetry of Lord Chaitanya. And if you want to know something about, more detailed about childhood pastimes, then you can read Murari Gupta's Chaitanya Karcha. There's a book. That's in Sanskrit, by the way. And then if you want to know about glories of Lord Chaitanya, then there is a book, Chaitanya Chandramrit by Prabodhanand Saraswati. And there is so many glories of Lord Chaitanya. And if you want to know something about Lord Chaitanya's traveling in South India and Vrindavan, that's a specific focus, then you should go to read a book, Chaitanya Chandrodaya by Kavi Karnapurna Das. So we have 6 books like that. Chaitanya Chandramrit, Chaitanya Chandrodaya, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Charit Amrita, which is this. And some notes of Sarup Damodar and Raghunath Das Goswami. So we have all these things. Such big ocean. And why we want to know Lord Chaitanya? That's the point. What is so special in him? And if you want to understand him, we have to understand 3 questions. That's all. Basically 4. What did he come to give us? What? And the second question is, how did he give us? And the third question is, why did he give us? And the last question is, when? And this is important. That's Gaudiya Vaishnavism. What, how, why, and when? And the classical achievement of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and in fact, all these songs of our acharyas, is you start with what, but you end with when. When will I attain Krishna? That's the perfection of life. That's what Lord Chaitanya came to show, actually. So, what did he give us? What's so special? Why he's called Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate? The word here is Prabhu Kaila Aishwarya Prakash. Aishwarya means he exhibited his opulence. What is so opulent in his pastimes? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called the incarnation of sweetness, isn't it? That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Krishna is called the incarnation of power and sweetness also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specifically Madhur Bhav, isn't it? That's Madhur Dham. But then here the word uses Aishwarya, opulence, exhibited opulence. What is so opulent about Lord Chaitanya? What is his mercy that he gave us? Now, you know what? Sarup Damodar and Srivas Thakur, they were once standing and discussing something. And Jagannath Rath Yatra was coming. And Srivas Thakur was seeing Jagannath and he was saying, oh my God, Krishna is so opulent. And Sarup Damodar was saying, well, he's so sweet. And there was a debate there between two of them. Is Krishna opulent and powerful, or is Krishna sweet? And Srivas Thakur said, well, you see, in Vaikuntha and in Dwarka, Krishna is a king, he's an autocrat, and he has so many queens and so many attendants, and you see such opulence. And Srivas Thakur, Sarup Damodar said, well, in Vrindavan, he's so sweet. But then Srivas Thakur said, well, you know what? Vrindavan is nothing in front of Vaikuntha. It's a dust and river and trees, that's all. What's there so special? Sarup Damodar said, well, Srivas, you don't know what is the real opulence of Krishna. The real opulence of Krishna is not his opulence, but his love. That's opulence, isn't it? Love can conquer kings. And love can make big people surrender. That's love. So that the when this verse says Prabhu Kaila Aishwarya Prakash, that means Lord Chaitanya not only exhibited his form of Krishna, original form, but he exhibited his sweetness to his devotees. That's what Prabhupada says in the verse. Lord gave benediction to each devotee according to his desire. That's his sweetness. That is his sweetness, isn't it? He reciprocates with his devotees in spite of the fact that we are not fit to be reciprocated. That's what he does, isn't it? That is sweetness. If a great person, he comes down from his platform and then he reciprocates with people who are like, people like us, who have not even heard the name, the word religion from our childhood. People like us who don't know even ABCD of religion. People like us who think we follow religion, but we have no idea of religion, and yet comes and reciprocates. That's his sweetness. It is like almost a king goes to a slum. You know this word slum? People know, yeah? Slums, yeah. You go to slums and then you reciprocate with them. There was one Alwar, you know, there was one great South Indian devotee, Namalwar, in South India, and he was sitting in meditation for 18 years. He sat in meditation for 18 years. He started his meditation at the age of one. At the age of 1 year, he just went under a tree and sat. And after 18 years, he opened his eyes. That was he. And he was sitting and Lord Vishnu, he came to him. Lord Vishnu, all these deities, they came to him to have his darshan. And you know what he said? Like, if we would have been there in spite of him, we would have said, oh, Krishna, you're so merciful, you have come. I'm so obliged. You know what he said? He said, Krishna, you go back. Just go back. This place is not fit for you. This material world is not fit for you. Although you are so sweet to reciprocate with me, although you are so sweet, you are taking anxiety to come to give darshan to me, but I don't want you to come in this useless place. Please go back. That is called as love. That is what Mahaprabhu has come to give us. That reciprocation, that love. But here's a question. Here's a question. What did actually Mahaprabhu give us? Can anybody just tell me, what did he come to give us? Why we call him the most magnanimous incarnation, the most merciful incarnation, Namo Mahavadanyaya? Why is that? What did he give us? Huh? Okay, Krishna, Prema, Pradha. Okay, love of Vrindavan. But, fine. Yeah, that's a special love. That's a special love. But something special he gave along with that. Holy name was given by other acharyas also. If you go to Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, they chant Hare Krishna Mantra. If you go to Madhva Sampradaya, they chant Hare. Of course, they chant opposite, Hare Ram, Hare. But nevertheless, holy name is given by all saints. There's not so special in that. Yeah, that's what she said. Love of Vrindavan. That's fine. That's fine. But we don't call him really merciful incarnation because he just gave love of Vrindavan. That's not the only point. He gave something more special which nobody gave. No one. Love of Vrindavan, yes. No one gave love of Vrindavan. But Ramanuja gave love of Vaikuntha. Ramanuja is also Patit Pavan. Ramanuja had 6,000 sannyasi disciples and they were coming from very low, great family. Madhva, he is initiated fisherman. They were also Patit Pavan. Of course, Mahaprabhu is Patit Pavan. But that's a difference in degree, you know. But that's not unique in him. What's so unique which nobody thought nobody could give? Actually, nobody could give that. That's done. That's we are revolving around that. That's Vrindavan Prem. That's the same thing. It's the same thing. We are going back and back. Oh, that Achintya Tattva, you can always argue Nimbarkacharya gave that. You can always argue that. Veda, Ved, Mahaprabhu added Achintya there to explain that. But you can always argue on that. But there's something which nobody gave. And you'll agree to me when I'll tell you. No. Krishna consciousness is, everybody's doing that. Oh, that makes answer more abstract, isn't it? You want unique, concise, concrete, and precise answer to the point. Huh? Okay. You know what he gave? Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Okay, fine. He came to give us love of Vrindavan. But there's no one in history who defined love. That he came to give us. The definition of love. The philosophy of love. Nobody could give. Ramanuja Madhva's work, it has love. They talk about love. I mean to say, Ramanuja Sampradaya, all this Divya Prabandham, what's that doing? There's all love there. But they talked about liberation. Isn't it? Because when the concept of love came, they said, we can't define it. We can't put love in words. How do you put that? You have to feel it, you know. And all these acharyas were at loss to define love. Mahaprabhu comes, he said, forget it. I will put love in words. Nobody could do that. And he did that through his disciple, Rupa Goswami. And Nectar of Devotion is all about defining love, isn't it? It's a definition and philosophy of love. Previous to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these poets, especially Bharat Muni. Bharat Muni is a rishi sage who wrote a book, Natya Shastra. Natya Shastra means, you understand, scriptures explain, talk about drama and poetry. And poets were actually talking about definition of love and defining love, but love was mundane, you know. Mundane love, they were talking about that. But then when our acharyas came and they said, well, it's spiritual love. How do you define spiritual love? You can't define spiritual love as same as mundane love. You can't give the same definition. Mahaprabhu said, forget it. I will define. Because if love is not defined, you cannot attain it. If your goal is not defined, how do you attain it? It's common sense. So all the previous acharyas talked about love, but nobody could have that in a concrete way because it was not defined. What do you do with that? And Rupa Goswami says, definition of love. Rupa Goswami gives Nectar of Devotion definition of love in chapter 21. Prabhupada writes, summarizes in English, chapter 21. And anybody knows the definition of love here? Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada gives this definition, quotes from Rupa Goswami's book. And definition of love is, Hirdiyasya Marsneya, Mamta Atishayankita, Bhavaiva Sandranatma, Buddhaye Prema Nigatyate. And Prabhupada writes, quoting Lord Chaitanya, love has three characteristics. Wherever you find these three things, there is love. Otherwise, that's not love. It's show of love. And what is that? The first characteristic is Hirdiyasya Marsneya. When you are in love with God, your heart becomes soft. It melts. But the idea is, everybody talked about that. Heart melts, but then what do you mean by melting? That's the problem there. You see? You see, when you talk about love, generally, we'd say, you know, people talked about that. When you see God, your heart melts and you feel something for Him. But it was very abstract. It's very abstract. What do you mean by that? Everybody can say, my heart melts. Anybody can say. So Mahaprabhu gave the science of love. Let's put like that. That is why Prabhupada always says, our movement is science of Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? Prabhupada always focused on that point. Science of self-realization. And if you read Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's work, you will find it is a science. There is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Kaira Swami says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave science of love in six subjects. And that was Mahaprabhu. He not only defined love, I'll come to this point of definition of love, but he divided love into six subjects, independent subjects of study. And the verse goes like this: Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Prem Tattva are Bhav Tattva, Ras Tattva, Leela Tattva Sar. Six subjects: Krishna Tattva, philosophy of Krishna, Bhakti Tattva, philosophy of devotion, Prem Tattva, philosophy of love, Bhav Tattva, philosophy of emotions, Rasa Tattva, philosophy of mellows and relationship with Krishna, and Leela Tattva, philosophy of pastimes. You see? And on the basis of these six subjects, Jiva Goswami wrote six books, which are called as Shad Sandarbhas. He developed all his thesis on this one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Prem Tattva are Bhav Tattva, Ras Tattva, Leela Tattva Sar. You see, it's a beautiful thing, the definition and the subjects of love. So, okay, what do you mean by melting of heart? That's the first characteristic of love. And if you read Nectar of Devotion, you will find Mahaprabhu is merciful and Prabhupada is more merciful than him. Let's put like that. He explains what Mahaprabhu came to give us. And Prabhupada writes, what do you mean by melting of heart? Melting of heart, you can understand if you understand what do you mean by hardening of heart. And Prabhupada comments, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. You know this, Sopriye Nama Kirtaya, what's that? Sopriye Nama Kirtaya. Hirdayam Batedam, that. Was that? Yeah. Evam Vrata Sopriye Nama Kirtaya, Jata Anuraga, Duta Uchchay. So, in that verse he says, when you chant the holy names of the Lord, and in fact the next verse, Tadashma Saram Hirdayam Batedam, he says, anybody whose heart doesn't melt when they chant the holy names of Lord, it is concluded that their heart is made of steel. And Prabhupada comments, what do you mean by hard heart? Prabhupada comments, due to offenses, our heart has become hard, strong. A soft heart means a heart devoid of offenses against Krishna and offenses against holy name. That's the first meaning. Now we can understand, okay, practical understanding, what do you mean by melting of heart? And when your heart melts for Krishna, when your heart is devoid of offenses, what is the base of offenses? What is the mother of offenses? Mother of offenses is selfishness. That's all. If you understand all these offenses, the base of all offenses is selfishness. When you start thinking about yourself, and not exactly Krishna, then you start committing offenses. That's all, isn't it? That's all. And if your heart is devoid of offenses, your heart is selfless. You're not thinking about yourself. In your Krishna consciousness, we are not the center. In fact, Srila Prabhupada gives many definitions of Krishna consciousness in his books. Prabhupada speaks many things at many instances. But if you analyze all of them, if you analyze all definitions about Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada gives three levels of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness means thinking about Krishna. That's okay. The next level is, Krishna consciousness means thinking what Krishna is thinking. Now that's the next level. So you are thinking about Krishna, but you are thinking about Krishna from your perspective. That's selfishness, what I think about Krishna. Still there is, you're the center. But when you can think what Krishna thinks, then your focus changes, isn't it? Now you're thinking what Krishna is thinking. So you go a little higher. That's Madhyamadhikari. You see, that's Krishna's Kaviraj Swami. That's how love moves. Love moves in a manner of a snake. You can't understand it moves. How it moves, how it works, how slowly love takes you from you to him. And the third level of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says in one of his talks, Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness means the final level, how Krishna is thinking about you. When you can think how Krishna thinks about you, That's the perfection of Krishna consciousness. It's not just I am thinking about Krishna. It's not just what Krishna is thinking. It's all about what, when I can think how Krishna is thinking about me. That is softening of heart. Then you can say your heart has softened. Because now you can think how Krishna is thinking about you. That is relationship, isn't it? That's what we do in relationships in this world. When you have a relationship with somebody, a husband, wife, what the wife is thinking? How my dear husband is thinking about me? What do you think about me? That's what they ask, no? When you're in love with somebody, the girlfriend asks the boyfriend, what do you think about me? Please say something, isn't it? And so we are doing everything for the eyes of our beloved. That's love. That is softening of heart. And when you are devoid of all selfishness and you are thinking from the perspective of Krishna, then what happens is you are able to renounce everything for Krishna. You renounce selfishness. That means you renounce your, you can renounce attachment to your house, to your body, even to your life. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Ami to amar nath. The highest limit of softening of heart is a heart devoid of selfishness, and the highest climax of selflessness is I even don't belong to myself. That was Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Ami to amar nath. The day when we can feel I don't belong to myself, that's a big thing. We can't even understand what that means. That day we can say our heart has softened. Because Krishna comes in a soft heart, isn't it? Krishna cannot enter in a heart which is hard. That's why Krishna steals butter. And he shows us, if you make your heart like butter, I'll come there. If your heart is like a stone, I can't. I don't like stones, isn't it? He likes butter. And when he comes in our heart, then we can renounce our I for him. We sacrifice our I. And that, in other words, means when your heart is soft, you can risk your life for God. Such a beautiful meaning with Lord Chaitanya gives, and actually Prabhupada develops it, and Prabhupada shows if you can risk your life for Krishna, then you can say my heart is soft. You see the point? It's totally different take. People think if your heart is soft, then you become timid and humble. But it's total other way. If your heart is soft, you become courageous. You become bold. And you can risk your life for Krishna, because now you don't belong to yourself. You belong to Krishna, and you can do anything for him. That is softening of heart. Such a beautiful definition of love. And the next symptom of love is mamta atishayankita. You develop a, because when you can renounce everything for him, you develop possessiveness for him. That's the second word. Mamta atishayankita. Mamta means possessiveness. Now, Mahaprabhu says that love, second symptom of love is you start thinking, I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. You see the point? That is mother and child. That's a point. At this level of devotion, when you have possessiveness of Krishna, then at this point, you can do anything for him. I mean to say, when you have possessiveness for somebody, for serving him, you can do anything. In other words, Krishna Goswami explains, anything means for serving Krishna, you can do offense against him. Now that's a big thing. That is love. Now, what do you mean by this? You can do offense against Krishna, yeah. And there are two classical examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Govinda, isn't it? Govinda did offense against Mahaprabhu. He just stepped over. I mean, we can't even think in dreams to just jump over him. He jumped. Nityananda Prabhu, he did offense. Nityananda Prabhu just didn't do offense. To serve Krishna, you can do offense. To serve Krishna, you can reject his orders. Nityananda Prabhu rejected orders of Lord Chaitanya. Mahaprabhu said, don't come to Puri. You should not come. You should be in Bengal and preach. That's what I want. But Nityananda Prabhu turned up every year. Mahaprabhu said, what are you doing here? I ordered you. He said, he came. Krishna told gopis, go back. And what did gopis do? Gopi said to Krishna, Krishna, we know you. You speak something and think something else. And we'll not go back. Of course, you need a big level of maturity to do this. You see the point? That's why we cannot say we are in love with God. We can't say, because we can't do all these things. We can't even imagine to do all these things. We can't do offense against Krishna to serve him. We can't do at our level. We can't really reject his orders. We have no idea. We have a hard time to follow his orders, you know. We can't even risk our life for him. So we are not in really love for him. What we are experiencing is just a shadow of shadow of shadow of love. You see the point? How by defining love, now we know where we are. If you don't define love, then you start thinking, I'm in love. And that is what is Vrindavan all about. Bhakti Santa said, everybody in Vrindavan is a neophyte. When he went for parikrama, all these big babajis, he said, they are neophytes. And his disciples couldn't believe him, because there were so many devotees staying their whole life in Radhakund, Shyamkund, and they were like doing miracles. Bhakti Santa said, they are neophytes, that's all. Because they think they are in love, but they are not in love. And the third symptom of love is, was that? Bhava eva sansaran atma. Your emotions become strong for Krishna. Now what do you mean by this? Prabhupada explains, you become obsessed for doing his service. First you start liking serving Krishna, then you become addicted to serve him, and then you become obsessed. You know, there's a difference between liking, addiction, and obsession. Liking means I like, okay. Sometimes I don't like. That can happen. Addiction means I like serving Krishna and I can't leave serving him, isn't it? That's addiction. But obsession is, even if I want to leave, I cannot leave. That is obsession. Even if your mind says you leave serving Krishna, your soul will say, well, I cannot. Even if you're convinced you should not serve Krishna, still you'll not be able to leave him. That is a different take altogether. That's obsession. That is called love. So, buddha eva, buddhai prema nigadyate. And the word used by Rupa Goswami is buddhai. Intelligent people define love like this. You see the combination of intelligence and love there? You don't talk about intelligence when you talk about love. Generally, people don't like to talk about that. Love, forget intelligence. No. That's the gift of Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadaniya. He not only gave love, He gave the philosophy of love, the definition of love, and also he gave the strength to handle that love. We don't have even... I define love, but really to understand that, we can't even figure out, you know, how it goes. You know, it's difficult. He gave the strength to attain that love. And not only he gives us strength to attain that love, he gives us the power to overcome the obstacles to attain that love. Because there are many obstacles. Maya will not allow you to attain love. She will relentlessly, you know this word relentless? Relentless? She will relentlessly try to make you fall down till your last breath. Even if you are going to die and it's your last breath, and you think, okay, now Maya can't do anything to me, because I'm in Vrindavan and I'm taking my last breath and I'm perfect. Even at that time, she will be ready to make you fall down. Even in that millisecond, she will not leave us. She didn't leave Haridas Thakur, by the way. She was there. Of course, she was defeated, but that is a determination of illusion. We are not safe. But then Mahaprabhu comes, he says, okay, I'll give you the power to overcome these obstacles. As Krishna, I didn't do that, but as Mahaprabhu, I'll do that. That is why we say Namo Mahavadaniyaya. You see, he gave a special kind of love, but that's not the point. He gave not only the point, he gave the definition of love, he gave the philosophy of love, he gave the power to attain that love, and he gave the power to overcome the obstacles. Namo Mahavadaniyaya, Krishna Prema Pradaya. That is what he came to give us. Okay, now, that is why we say, Kaila Aishwarya Prakash. That is his opulence. That is his greatness. Aishwarya means greatness. That's his greatness. And how did he give that love? That's another question. Now we discussed what. But how does he give that love? That's a beautiful explanation there. You know what? When you go in front of Krishna, there is a problem. You might not have figured that out, but there's a problem there. Everything is not okay when you are standing in front of Krishna, because the problem is, when you go in front of Krishna, Krishna is very judgmental. Krishna is, by the way, judgmental. He judges. He judges what is right, what is wrong. That's Gita all about, isn't it? Surrender unto me. If you don't surrender, then you are at loss. Do this, don't do this. Isn't that all Gita all about? So, he's judgmental. And he starts judging whether this devotee is qualified or not qualified. And when he starts judging, most of us will fall in the bracket of unqualified, isn't it? And we are at loss. That's a problem. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does, so Krishna does something. You know what? Krishna keeps Radharani besides her. Krishna doesn't do anything out of no purpose. That's one thing. There is one sutra in Vedanta Sutra. Na prayojanatvat. Vedanta Sutra goes like that. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. That's the first sutra. Second sutra is Janmadyasyata. Third sutra is Shastra Yonitvat. And fourth sutra is, Lila Anukritosyat. Then comes Na prayojanatvat. And that sutra says, God doesn't do anything without any purpose. So, Krishna is Radharani with her. Why? Because I like her. No, that's not the point. Krishna doesn't keep Radha like that, isn't it? Because I like her, so I got her with me. No. Krishna keeps Radharani because Prabhupada says in one of his lecture, if Radharani recommends you to Krishna, he will accept, isn't it? Prabhupada says no. Radharani says he's a good boy and a good girl, he's a good devotee. Krishna is obliged to accept. You see, so Krishna keeps Radha with him so that when he judges somebody, Radha will say, don't judge. Extend mercy to him. So to extend mercy to conditioned souls, he keep Radha with him. And that's why we worship Radha Krishna. We don't worship Krishna. That's why we say Hare Krishna. Because if we say only Krishna, we have no chance. We go to hell. That's all. We might go to hell because only Krishna, and that's only Krishna. There's nobody to recommend. So, but the problem there is, there's Radha, there is Krishna, but then Krishna thought, people come, people don't know even how to reciprocate with me, and there's a problem. So he said, okay, I'll take an incarnation in which I will fuse with Radharani. So, Mahaprabhu takes the mood of Radha, and what happens is, he becomes intoxicated in love. And you know what? When you're intoxicated, what happens? You can't see what's happening in front of you, You can't judge, first of all. Your judgment, the power of judgment is gone, first of all. And the second thing is, when you're intoxicated, then whoever is there in front of you, you just start talking to him. You can embrace him. You can do whatever you want. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yogyata ayogyata na karaha vichar. How he gives mercy? By taking the mood of Radha, and when he takes the mood of Radha, he forgets who is there in front of him and he simply embraces him. He forgets he's God. He forgets that person is nonsense. And he says, and he embraces, that's all. Pratap Rudra. Isn't it? We know. Pratap Rudra started speaking Gopi Geet. Mahaprabhu was so intoxicated, he just embraced Pratap Rudra. He forgot who is that person. He forgot that he actually knew he's a king. He knew that he came in a different dress. But he simply embraced him. Even the fact he knew that he's Pratap Rudra disguised as a beggar or whatever. And that's how Mahaprabhu gives. That is why there's a link between love and mercy. That's another thing why we call him the most magnanimous incarnation. He not only gave the definition of love, he not only gave philosophy of love, he not only gave the power to attain that love, he also gave the link between love and mercy. That's how Mahaprabhu extends mercy, by accepting love He gives love. That is a sign of a great person, isn't it? A mean and a selfish person, he gives something to take something, isn't it? That's a selfish person. He has some agenda there. I'll give you to take. But love is, you take something to give that. It's just the opposite. And Mahaprabhu did this trick. He took the love. He purposefully became mad to extend mercy to us. Such a beautiful incarnation. Who wants to become mad? We say Mahaprabhu is mad, no? Transcendental madness. He purposefully gave his sense of judgment. He purposefully forgot all dharma. He put aside all dharma. Forget that. Just to extend mercy. That is why we call most merciful. Rupa Goswami, he didn't say just to flatter him. Namo Mahavadanya. He really understood this incarnation. That's how he extends mercy. And why he does mercy? Why he gives love? That's the third question. What he gives, that we understand. How he gives love, that now we understand. Why he gives loves, now there's an important point there. We have two reasons for that. Why he is giving love to us? In spite of the fact, we are not qualified for that, isn't it? Mahaprabhu is giving the highest thing to lowest people. Fearing, with a fear, that these people will spoil everything, isn't it? And people spoiled it. Mahaprabhu gave love, and in the presence of Mahaprabhu, there were 13 upper sampradayas. You see? While he was there, people started concocting, and there was one person, when Mahaprabhu was walking in Jagannath Puri, there was this person, and this comes in, I think, Chaitanya Bhagavat. And this person was saying, and he met Mahaprabhu, and he said, Mahaprabhu, you are Radha, and I am Krishna. He said to Chaitanya Prabhu, Mahaprabhu says, Tumi Ati Vadi. I think Chaitanya Charitamrita, you are very great. And he just walked up. And there's a upper sampradaya, Ati Vadi. There's a upper sampradaya like that. So even when Mahaprabhu was present, people started concocting about love and sahijyas and this and that. In spite of the fact Chaitanya Prabhu knew that these people will do something crazy when I give the highest thing to lowest people. You know what? It's like that, no? So when you give money to a child, what he does? Into his mouth. He doesn't know anything about it. He doesn't have any value. And that's what we are. We can't even understand what's going on. So there's one conversation with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada says, you know, so one devotee says, Prabhupada, yeah, we understand philosophy of Krishna. And Prabhupada says, you're nonsense. You don't understand anything. And Prabhupada quotes that verse, Vasudev, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, Gyanvanvam Prapadyate, Vasudevam Sarvameti Sahamahatma Durshulabha. Prabhupada says, you don't know even Krishna. It is all at material level. You are thinking on a material platform about Krishna. Bahunam, it might take lives. It might take one life if you are extraordinarily sincere. You need to be extraordinarily sincere to attain Krishna. And that's why it's said in science, extraordinary claims needs extraordinary evidence. You have heard this? We have extraordinary claim here by Mahaprabhu. Extraordinary definition of love. Love and this and this. So you need extraordinary efforts. That is love. Now, the question is, why does he do that? Can anybody tell me, why does he do that? Why he gives the highest thing to lowest people, you know? He could have given a process. It doesn't make sense, you know. You give something high to something crazy people and then they spoil and then they come up with speculative ideas. What do you do with that? You can take people slowly and steadily so that they don't spoil anything. So why does he do that? Why he gives love like that? Why he distributes love? And then Mahaprabhu laments. There's nobody to buy these fruits. Isn't it? Shuno, shuno, Harida, shuno, Sanatan. Come here, distribute these fruits. I brought so many fruits from spiritual world. There's a spoiling. Please distribute it. So why does that? And there are two reasons for this. And the one of the reason is, You know what? Krishna is a director. And when you read Nectar of Devotion, there's one quality of Krishna. He's a leader. You know that? Leader. And this is the name Neta. He's the best leader. Krishna is like a film director. You can see like that, isn't it? He's directing all our lives. He's planning. When you go to spiritual world, Krishna is playing flute, but you'll not find just playing him playing flute. He's also planning there, sitting there and planning what to do now with these crazy people. How to lead them. So he is a director and he made a big plan. And when he makes plan, it's not 100 years, it's thousands of years. So he started his plan with Lord Buddha, isn't it? And then Shankaracharya, Mayavad. So first he came with the Buddha and he just, orthodox Brahmanas, he just finished them. Then he came as Shankara, he finished Buddhism. Then he came as Ramanuja and Madhva and he finished Shankara's. And then he came as Nimbarka, like his devotees, his plan I'm talking about. And then Nimbarkacharya, he blossomed the philosophy of Ramanuja. And now he comes to give the finish of the movie. Now movie has to finish, you know, it's a big movie. It's a big plan going, again to reestablish love. So he comes in a climax, to give a climax of the movie, and that climax is love of God. You see? You start with dharma, that is Buddha, some kind of dharma, understanding of dharma. And then you start with dharma, and then you go with Shankara, and then from religion you go to philosophy. And then philosophy, you go to Ramanuja, Madhva, you go to concept of liberation, which is the aim of philosophy. And from liberation, you come to love, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why did he give love? Because he's a film director, he wants to enjoy, he wants to complete his film. Even if nobody understands a film, I want to complete my film, you know. It gives me enjoyment. And it gives a lot of pleasure to Lord Chaitanya to distribute love. That's one thing. And the other thing is, Mahaprabhu wanted to show the power of love in this age. In this age when almost everybody is Mayavadi, he wanted to show power of love. And you know what's the power of love? In spite of being a Mayavadi, even Mayavadis, like for example Rumi, you know Rumi? Sufi saint? Now Sufis are generally Mayavadis, you know. In the end they say, God and we are one. Rumi said, I am convinced the goal of life is to become one with God. I'm convinced. But, I don't feel like that. Because I feel love for him. And because of love, even though I'm convinced the goal of life is to become one with God, I don't want to become one with him. You see? Love has such a power that even Mayavadis, when they get love, they forget the aim of their life. They forget it. Madhusudan Saraswati, he was a big Mayavadi. And he started his career to actually defeat Vaishnavism. And he said, the goal of life is to become one with God and this. And then, so Madhusudan Saraswati, he was a Mayavadi, he was contemporary of Mahaprabhu. And he came in contact with Mahaprabhu associate. And then he got love. And he said, yeah, I can understand that to become one with Krishna, that's the goal of life. But now I don't want it. Because of love. So Mahaprabhu gave love to show the power of love. Love is such a powerful thing. It's a call of soul that even Mayavadis, in fact, if you hear Mayavad, your love is destroyed, isn't it? Mahaprabhu says, Mayavad bhashe sunle, hoye sarvanash. Even Mayavadis, when they get love, they forget the goal. They don't want that goal of life. They're just intoxicated by that. He gave love. He gave love to glorify love. That's why he gave, isn't it? When you give such a high thing to such low people, who is glorified? Those people or love? Love, anyway, we are nonsense. Love is glorified. That love can even capture these nonsense people. Isn't it? That's what he did that. To glorify love and to end his pastimes too for enjoyment, for his leela. That's how he gives. And the last question is, now we discuss what, why and how. But the last question is, when? That's where we have to reach. When will I attain Krishna? And that question, when, that Mahaprabhu showed by his pastimes. That's his pastimes, that's all. His pastimes are when. That's, isn't it love and separation? That's all. That's the climax, love and separation. When will I attain Krishna? So you start with what, you go to how, you go to why, and then you come to when. And if we don't come, and when we come to when, then our life is perfect. That says Mahaprabhu and Bhaktivinod Thakur, all the songs, when will we attain Krishna? That's Rupa Goswami. He says, what's that? What's that verse? Shad Goswami Ashtakam. He Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalalite. It's when. When we'll attain Krishna. That desire to attain Him. That is where we have to reach before we die. We are going to die, definitely, isn't it? We forget that as a devotee. We are going to die. Before you die, you have to understand all these questions. You have to figure out in your heart, not just in intellect. What, how, why, and when. Figuring out by intellect, that's a very definitely different thing. Figuring out by your wisdom and heart, that's a very different thing. By your soul, actually. We have to do something. Prabhupada says, by hook or crook, make your life perfect. Prabhupada says that. By hook or crook. And if we don't become perfect, we are going to come back. That's also certain. Prabhupada says, even if you like one samosa, you have to come back to eat that samosa. You're not going back to spiritual world. That's a very... You have to be perfect. You can't be with a perfect person without being perfect. Like father, like sons. That's what a life for. That's why we discuss Chaitanya Charitamrita. We analyze these things. And it's so blissful and at the same time so learning. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.